Good evening. I'm Nancy Nangeroni, and this is Gender Talk. Hello again. This is Gender Talk, Boston's worldwide radio show that talks about transgenderism in the first person. Each week, we bring you news, information, and exciting new voices that challenge our traditional view of gender. Tonight, we're talking politics, gender politics, that is. First, we'll speak with Transsexual Menace founder and Read My Lips author, Ricky Ann Wilchins, about recent activist events around the trans community. Then we'll meet the author of an article published in this week's Boston Phoenix about gender in the workplace. Lastly, we'll talk with longtime transsexual activist, writer, and organizer Dallas Denny about transgender community organizing and how we can take it to the next level. Are we ready to move right into Dallas? All right. Dallas, you with us?
I'm here.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
Fine. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the volume.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about that. Is that any better?
Yeah, I can hear pretty well now.
All right. So welcome to Gender Talk. Long overdue.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, let's see. So, Dallas Denny, you founded Aegis, which is one of the premier national transgender organizations?
Yeah, in 1990.
All right.
Wow.
And now you're engaged in merging that organization?
Absolutely. You know, I think we were a victim of our own success. When I founded Aegis, it was almost impossible for transsexual people to get information. And now, of course, you just type in the word on the internet of any search engine, and there you go.
Yeah.
So I thought it was time to revision the organization, and it looked like more advocacy was needed, more political work, and so we've been talking with the board of It's Time America, and we've agreed to merge.
Cool. And how's that going? How long is that process going to take? Do you know?
We're hoping to get kicked off in early 1999 because we're putting together an entire new organization, starting with a mission statement and vision and values and the constitution and bylaws, all that stuff.
All right. Sounds like a lot of drudgery work.
We're moving along.
So Dallas, let's talk about organizations in the trans community.
Yeah, well, you know, I think all the organizations have always struggled. You know?
Yeah, and it seems like
how are they struggling?
Yeah, there's a lot of how would you say they're struggling, Dallas? You want to talk about that?
I think they're all struggling financially, and also there's always more work to do than there are volunteers to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've suffered for a long time with just not having enough of a base of people who are out to make it happen as, say, the gay and lesbian community did. There just aren't that many of us. And it was complicated by the fact that so many people will go through their process and sort of disappear again, that it was hard to build a base. So we've been struggling for a while.
So people tend to pass through the community? They come out and then they transition or they...
And then they disappear again.
Yeah. Robs us of our elders.
Mm.
We're no transsexual elders. Kind of the only ones around were the people who had been outed by the media, like Christine Jorgensen and Renee Richards.
Yeah.
And they weren't really involved with the community, but there were at least some names we knew. But everyone disappeared.
So it seems like...
Transsexuals.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You know, I mean, you sort of had to choose between being a transsexual or a crossdresser until somewhere around, I don't know, about 93, and the whole sort of transgender movement sort of blossomed in 93 and 94. But before then, people had to sort of self-identify, and if you were transsexual, that meant you were supposed to transition and disappear, and that's what everyone did. I thought that's what I would do. I thought it was one of the rules.
Why didn't you?
Because it just didn't seem right. I think I just happened to come along at a time of awakening, and it just didn't feel comfortable to me. Also, I'm by profession, I've worked in mental health, and there were so many needy people that it was sort of hard to disappear once there was so much need. So I founded Aegis, and that made it impossible to disappear.
It seems likely, Dallas, that we're in a period where we're going through a shakeout in the trans community. That things have gotten popular. A lot of groups got started. There are something like 300 groups nationwide. And it seems like maybe some consolidation of organizations is in order, especially as we get more acceptance from the gay community.
Yeah, I have some theories. You want to hear them?
I would love to.
Okay, the first theory is that our identity politics have changed. You know, we started an open organization. So before, it would take a transsexual organization and a cross-dressing organization, and often there would be an imperial court in a town for gay cross-dressers. Now everyone's sort of welcome under the big transgender tip. So I think that makes sort of a reshuffling start to happen as sort of the old identities start to be eroded by more people identifying as transgender. The other thing, I think, is the Internet. The second thing, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people seem to be finding their support online. And the third is, with increasing acceptance from the mainstream and from gay, lesbian, bisexual organizations, people don't have to turn to transgender organizations. There are other places that they can get support. Used to, if you didn't go to a trans support group, you didn't get any support. And that's no longer true. So I think, you know, it's causing distress in the organizations, but it's wonderful because that means that everything we've tried to do is happening.
So it's a good kind of problem to have.
Yeah, you know, I've been excited. On the other hand, you know, having an information organization in an age when everybody's got information on their fingertips didn't make much sense after about 1995.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, what was I going to say? I lost it.
Are you going to tell us any more theories, Dallas?
No, those are my three theories. I've thought a lot about this because, you know, we just got to a certain point and things were not happening beyond that point in terms of growth and in terms of establishing a membership base. And so I thought a lot about those and you know, should I continue with Aegis being an information service or did it need to change? And I decided that it needed to change because the community had changed and the needs of people had changed.
What do you think are their biggest needs in the community, Dallas, right now? What are the things that we need to do the most?
I think there will always be an information need, but now there's 300 support groups around the country where people can get it, lots of knowledgeable professionals, lots of gay and lesbian centers, and gay and lesbian and bisexual support groups that have open arms. We see more people needing hands-on support with advocacy. You know, we see people who, for instance, run into a judge that won't let them change their name, or they're in a bitter fight for custody of their children,
mm-hmm.
or they're being harassed at work. And they need more than information, and the community just has not been set up to effectively provide that.
Yeah, that's been a real challenge. I periodically get calls at IFGE, and for a lot of people, all I can do is put them on this program and give them some exposure.
Yeah, you know, it was about all I could do with Aegis was write letters, and it's amazing. Sometimes a letter on letterhead could save someone's job.
Really?
Wow.
But mostly it really needed people who could go into the company, if the company was willing to do that, and do education of the management and the employees. And, you know, I think that's going to be needed. And, of course, there's always a need to fight the political fight because there are people trying to erode our rights, what few we have.
And to get us better rights, too, right? To
yeah,
get us
absolutely.
Some new rights.
Yeah, what do you think of the work that GenderPact does?
GenderPact has done a really good job at helping us break into the mainstream. I know it's been criticized a lot as having, because of its very broad base of support. But there's been a lot of media stories that have come about because of GenderPact that I think have been really effective at causing people to look at us in the political way rather than as poor, unfortunate people. On the other hand, you know, GenderPact isn't set up to do advocacy work either.
Right. Yeah, in fact,
national organization, there's lots of need for grassroots sorts of action.
Yeah, it seems like we need to put together a national network that can hand people to tie people together for advocacy work.
Yeah, you know, we need people on site. You know, the next time someone's murdered, you know, we need to be able to send someone right out to talk to the press and to talk to the sheriff's department, and do whatever is needed so that, you know, thing gets investigated properly. And it makes better sense to have someone locally you can send 100 miles than to send I call them the pros from Dover in from a national organization.
Dallas, and here in Boston area, what's happening is that the service organizations, the state-funded service organizations that have been servicing gay and lesbian community, are beginning to serve the trans community. They're beginning to get AIDS money and other money.
Youth also.
Yes.
They're being picked up.
And these people are the ones who are often able to step in and provide help. Do you see that elsewhere as well?
I do. I've seen it here in Atlanta. It was some personnel from our support group. It was a support group that I started here. Was talking about getting something going for youth. And when a couple of our people took it to the youth, the gay and lesbian youth organization, when saying, you know, they had the infrastructure that we lacked. So they were able to put it together. When you get that infrastructure, when you have facility, when you have paid staff, you can make things happen more than you can in an all-volunteer organization.
Now,
I see that happening more and more, so maybe sort of a little work done educating those organizations could go a really long way for the organizations that are existing, which, you know, we have limited resources. There's only so much we can do. So, you know, educating gay and lesbian organizations and helping them set up programs may be one way to maximize the service to transsexual and transgender people.
Sounds good. Dallas, I understand you wrote a piece. I haven't seen the piece, but I've been told you wrote a very good piece on class issues that's up on the Internet somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I think the lessons that I've learned in this life have always sort of had to do with being a two-spirit, sort of being between one and the other, obviously with my gender issue, but also I think I've had some hard times financially, and I found myself when I was about 17 years old living in the Ross Fireproof Hotel on 3rd and Union in downtown Nashville, right behind the Ryman Auditorium where the Grand Ole Opry was, and cross-dressing and going out nearly every day into the city streets. Making about $30 a week, boy, in a restaurant. And that was a decision point in my life because I was trying very hard to find some sort of support to be able to live as a woman. And there was no support. And about my only alternative was to go on the stroll, which I came very close to doing.
To go on what?
To do prostitution, to do sex work.
Sorry.
And there was a temptation to that. I could have lived as a woman if I did that, but I sensed it was very dangerous and I didn't quite do it. So drawing upon that sort of that period of my life, I put together this essay because I see a whole transgender community that's sort of divorced from, you know, sort of the group that calls itself the transgender community, but in which there are a lot of people who've been identified as members of the gay community. They identify as gay. Often they don't have much money. Often they're people from racial minority groups. And they just sort of don't come to the support group meetings. They may go to the bars a lot. A lot of them may be engaged in prostitution. But the support that got set up by the national trans organizations haven't really reached those people very well.
And oftentimes, isn't that because these support groups are really people just from a whole different life, and it's hard for one to relate to the other?
Yeah, I think so. For the same reason that, you know, if a young person comes and everybody's in their 40s and 50s, they may feel a little uncomfortable. You know, or at least they're not going to be getting what they're looking for like they may find in a youth group.
Yep.
And in fact, we've had people that go to youth groups that are primarily gay and lesbian in preference to going to the trans support group because they need sort of more support for their age issue than for their transgender issue.
Well, I think that sort of works both ways, because the people that are in their 40s or 50s, I've found very uncomfortable being around young trans people, like the whole recruitment idea or whatever it is.
Yeah, it does work both ways, and probably both those are needed, but it's really difficult to get good information to some of the people on the street. You know, there's a lot of use of street hormones, injection of silicone, which is very dangerous, high HIV rates among transgender sex workers. One study that was done here in Atlanta, I'm in Atlanta, found a 65% seropositivity rate among transgender sex workers, and that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And those people aren't getting reached by the more middle class community. So you're right. There are middle class people that aren't going to be comfortable around sex workers. But we need something that reaches as large a group of people as possible.
Yeah, what's happening in Boston is, again, one of the organization that runs on state funding has created a position for a transgender education network. They had someone there who recently resigned, and now they're seeking someone else. But they've stepped to the fore for doing this work, which kind of makes sense. You know, they're a local urban organization that has reach and already has contact with the young people and the gay and lesbian community.
I just thought of sort of the main point of my article, which is that, you know, really I don't see that the differences between, I think the primary difference between sort of the two populations has more to do with the age at which people transition. If you transition later in life and you've had a chance to get an education and earn more money and become more middle class.
Mm.
You transition when you're young, you're often just faced with such severe rejection that you're literally on the street.
Yeah, and you can never get your feet under you.
I mean, the difference is not that there are two types of people as much as their choices throw them into really different circumstances.
Dallas, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
And you don't have to answer it, okay? This isn't meant to embarrass you in any way or anything.
Okay.
Most of the people I talk to, you know, express great admiration for your writing. For years, you've written important, incisive pieces that highlight issues that aren't being talked about by other people in our community. And I've heard some people say they think that perhaps you're getting burned out. Perhaps, you know, you played it out as long as you could, and you're not going to be able to be quite so active anymore. Is there any truth in that? Are we going to be able to, are we still going to have the benefit of your writing?
Absolutely. You know, let me just say that I have a full-time job. And for 10 years as the unpaid volunteer director of Aegis, after I came home from work, I would usually spend 7 to 10 hours answering the phone, which rang at all hours, doing editing on the journal, mailing information to people, doing all the many things that were required, and it was a full-time job. I mean, on top of a full-time job. And after 10 years, I got a little tired of that level of activity, so I decided I had to get rid of the ringing phones, and I had to sort of have more balance in my life, because I was starting to have some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I did cut back, but I mainly cut back to, like, twice what a normal person would do. I'm sort of a workaholic, I guess.
I guess.
So I'm still writing. I've got some book projects, some book chapters, a monthly column in TG Forum. I'm active in the local support group, and I'm active in the new chapter, It's Time Georgia. And, of course, I'm still working that darn job. So the short answer is I'm around for a while.
Good. Good. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you. I think we're just about done. Yeah, we got maybe, if you had something you want to say in 30 seconds. Is there any information you want to give out? Is there any contact information or anything?
No, because right now, pending the merger, we're really not processing sort of selling anything or processing requests for information. So I don't have any contact information, but I really hope that maybe I'll be back on, or someone else with the new Transgender Education Association, we'll be on maybe after the first of the year with that contact information for
that would be great.
A new and better organization.
Absolutely, Dallas.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Dallas, thank you. It's been long overdue, and it's a real pleasure. And we wish you the very best, and you and I will be talking, I think, and doing some work together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Rick.
All right, Dallas.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, what a busy
All right.
woman.
She has been...
invaluable.
Yeah. She's been absolutely a cornerstone of the community for some time. Dallas Denny. Anyway, everyone, that does it for our show tonight. Our website, once again, www.gendertalk.com. And IFGE, the International Foundation for Gender Education, which is the leading referral agency on transgender issues, can put you in touch with any of these people that you've heard us talking with or about tonight. IFGE can be reached at 781-899-2212. And now, on behalf of engineer Hal Fuller, co-host AJ Dirks, producer Karen Larson, editor Mark Semek, and myself, thanks again for listening. And remember, no matter what the occasion, gender talk is always appropriate.
And the views and opinions presented on the preceding program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR Technology Broadcasting Corporation or MIT there.
All right. Stay tuned now for Sandal Pop.
Good night, everybody.